Blog Talk Radio.
Is God a race according to the Bible?
I like it.
Deuteronomy 76, he said, for thou art a holy people. The Lord thy God has chosen thee, you Israelites, to be a special people unto himself above all people that are from the face of the earth.
Yasha Allah.
I came into this truth bearing my soul like Paul to Damascus. Now I'm on the block wearing my robe to call on the masses to repent and turn back to the ways of the Most High. Better rallies in the midst of us watching with close eyes, cause they know the power in this word. For those dry bones, agents, they infiltrate us, but this a no-fly zone. Fearing no man, no evil come up against us winning, unless you in the midst of sinning. Keep the commandments. You want wisdom? Seek understanding. We Hebrew Israelites, we keep laws while banging on Esau. Educated, no tuition required, debate your top scholars. What's a chihuahua to a Rockwaller? Yahweh, Bahashem, Yahweh Shah, Barakathah, Mishpachah, pray you heathens and cowards die. 1,000 deaths to the 2/3 cast in the lake of fire. All because you hate the Messiah. Liars, your second death is eternal. The book of life, you ain't written in, cause you was never sick of sin. Wild since a child going round on your sit and spin. You was purpose for wickedness as a captive. That's why you still a Baptist, Protestant, a Methodist, Jehovah wickedness, Pentecostal, that's your testament. Seventh day Adventist, non-denomination, no matter the title, still an idol, all abomination. Come on.
Hebrews on the rise, and ain't nobody stopping the words of these prophets. Sit back and just watch.
Accusations on me, making videos, assuming I be with the Illuminati, bearing false witness, only proving you ain't godly. Now back to my real groove, who's showing love like the real should and real do. We stand united as a nation, we fighting the vaccination of false teachers, the poison the minds of the lost sheep, and it's a tragedy. Our leaders like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who happily practicing blasphemy, like in the Maccabees, sold us out for masses' approval, lacking no scruples. Man, I can't wait till it's off of the head with you Judases, if only you could.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some... Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, come on.
Frank Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Choices,
yeah.
Yep.
Everybody got choices.
Nope.
Everybody got choices.
Nope.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
It's a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
It's a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
this life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The devil won't win.
No, no, no.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The devil won't win.
No, no, no.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two sides to choose from. You have to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I are Satan.
To choose.
Who's right to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yeah.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yeah.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yeah.
Will he fall wood forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yeah.
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I are Satan.
To choose,
whose side to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Shalom, shalom, and good morning, Baba Kwatua, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew, man. And welcome to the show. I'm your brother, your host, Tyler Pa, joining you once again, man, and wants to apologize for the previous two Tuesdays. I didn't do a show. I'm sorry, y'all. Had to work. Sorry, life calls. But anyway, man, I'm back. I'm back, and glad to be back, man. And welcome everybody to the show, man. Tell a friend and tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pod Tuesday. Taza Pod Tuesday. Taza Pod Tuesday is happening every Tuesday, man. I want to start off, y'all, by giving shout out to our brother schools. Shout out to the brothers here in San Antonio. Doing the moving company, On the Mark Moving. If you need something, move, hit those brothers up on the moving, onthemarkmoving.com. Also want to send shots out to our brothers down in H-Town, man, putting it in. Locke Rob holding it down, down in H-Town. They also have the YouTube channel. They do classes periodically throughout the week. And they also have a business as well, Sweet Ambience. SweetAmbience.com, catch them online for all your essential fragrances, smell goods for the house, for the crib, for the body, the whole nine. They got bath salts, bath bombs, I mean, the whole nine. You can also get a subscription from the brothers at Sweet Ambience. And they also have the same thing going. They're all connected, y'all. We're all one school under the ISBHPK umbrella, just different branches. But also the brothers up at VA, man, doing the same thing with the Sweet Ambience and Rochester as well. Want to send shout out to those brothers, Brothers Kazakia, Brothers Kwatazak. Kwatazak is in Rochester right now. Brother Zainala, Brother Aria holding it down in VA. But welcome to the show, man. I have a pressing matter, y'all. And if y'all can help me out, if anybody knows anything, man, this is an emergency. I have a water dispenser, y'all, those hot and cold water dispensers. If anybody is familiar with those, man, please hit me up. Mine is leaking, y'all, and I've been trying to figure this damn thing out. To fix it, to stop it from leaking, watch a couple of YouTubes on it, and it looks like I'm going to have to call these folks, unless somebody out there in Blog Talk Land know how to fix it. If you do, man, hit your brother up, man. I'm at 314-482-9110, man. Hit me up, let me know. All right, y'all, without further ado, let me get into the show, man. A lot of craziness going on as usual. You know, this ain't nothing new. We're in Babylon, man. What can you expect? Everybody had a good weekend, a safe weekend, especially with all this nonsense going on about the 4th of July. The 4th of July, man. and trip off of this, y'all. There's a lot of stuff going on concerning this holiday for this country. So let me start here with this one. Here we go. Trip off of this, y'all. And this is from CNN, y'all. And if it's your first time tuning in to the show, like I always do, I like to spend about an hour doing the news before I get into the actual topic, y'all. So let me read this story here. Do I have any audio for this? Let me see. I don't think so. Give me a second, y'all. Let me unplug this right here. Let me go right here. Hello, hello. Hope everybody can hear me. All right, this story is from CNN, y'all, and the headline reads, and y'all probably heard about this, fireworks display suddenly explodes during setup on crowded beach. Yes, they had a firework display that was set up and exploded on the beach. It says beachgoers in Ocean City, Maryland, captured video on the town's 4th of July fireworks gone rogue. The display exploded prematurely after the unintentional discharge. Boom, it blew up. I believe they had, let me see. I had put it up on another news publication. And it said they had a couple of people that were injured. So that's that one. Now, trip off of this one here, y'all. Y'all probably heard about this one, too. Here we go. NHL goaltender Matisse Kivlinix, dead from fireworks accident, medical examiner officials say. Probably butchered his name, but it's the best I can do, y'all. Matisse Kivlinix, a goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jays of the National Hockey League, died Sunday night after an accident involving fireworks at a party, according to authorities in Novik, Michigan. I'm butchering this dude's name. Kivlinix, 24, died from a fireworks mortar blast and chest trauma, according to Inspector Mitch Brown of the Oakland County Medical Examiner's Office. The death was ruled accidental after a full autopsy was conducted by Oakland County Chief Medical Examiner, Dr. Dragovich Brown said. Novik Police Department Lieutenant Jason Merritt told CNN that the chest injuries from the fireworks resulted in internal injuries. So, I don't know. They wouldn't go into detail as to what actually happened. But this dude, let me see. What does it say? It says, early on Monday, Mayor had said there seemed to be a malfunction that set the fireworks in the direction of the people. Kivlinix and others were in a hot tub, and when they tried to get out, Kivlinix slipped, fell, and hit his head on the concrete. Eesh. I'm surprised he didn't die from like a brain trauma situation, but they said that it was the fireworks that killed him. He had internal injuries. So those are two incidents that happened concerning fireworks in the 4th of June, the 4th of July, right? So let me read y'all this one right here. Oh. Where'd it go? Justify this one. So everybody was out popping fireworks, man, and some mishaps. Before I read this, I'm gonna be getting this one. I hate when they do that. Let's say to move this one to the back burner. Let me search for it real quick. Give me just a second, y'all. Let me search for this one. This was... So can you pour that tea right there in that cup from the counter? Bear with me for a second now. I'm looking for an article. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just pour everything in there. Mm-hmm. Man, they might have took that one down completely. Yeah, that's part of that story right there. Let me play this one. And y'all probably heard about this one, too. Should trip off of this. Play this for y'all.
Follow the evidence. It was the turning point in forensic history for activities. People can lie. Forensic science cannot. And all these things in the forensic files, too.
And
that's Sunday at 10, only on
HLN. It was just kind of a frenzy, and everybody was just trying to figure out, like, what's going on.
Three people are dead, including a golf pro, after a bizarre incident on a country club golf course. Police are still searching for the suspect. It happened Saturday afternoon at the Pine Tree Country Club in Kennesaw, just north of Atlanta. Witnesses say a man drove a white pickup truck onto the course. Golf pro Gene Siller went to see what was going on and was shot near the 10th hole. A member of the club told CNN affiliate WXIA.
When it happened, it was all in the moment. You know, 4th of July, you're thinking fireworks, and it's not fireworks, and there's a guy on the ground.
Police say the 41-year-old Siller was found with an apparent gunshot wound to the head and pronounced dead at the scene.
A really nice guy. Greeted everyone. Treated everyone with respect. You know, really good guy.
Officers then made another shocking discovery. Inside the bed of the truck parked on the green, the bodies of two men, both with apparent gunshot wounds. Police identified one of the victims as Paul Pearson, the registered owner of the Ram truck. The other victim has yet to be identified. While police investigated, nearby Kennesaw State University sent out an emergency alert to students and faculty. In a series of tweets, the school's emergency management department described the suspect as a Hispanic male with long hair, 6'1", 170 pounds, with a darker complexion, wearing a white or tan T-shirt, work pants, and possibly a hat. Investigators are still trying to figure out if this was a targeted or random incident.
He was a peaceful dude.
He built community, didn't have one enemy. Clearly, it's an act of evil. It's an act of selfishness. We need to come together and have a sense of selflessness where we don't show up and allow anger and sadness to inform our decisions.
In a statement, PGA's president said, quote, "We are truly heartbroken to hear about the senseless murder that took place yesterday at Pine Tree Country Club in Georgia that took the life of PGA member Gene Siller. GoFundMe page has been set up for Siller's family. He leaves behind a wife and two young children."
It didn't hit me.
So that's one incident, because I have another article I'm going to get into and read. But that was the only violence that was happening this weekend, y'all. Now, let me read this right here. Because people might ask, well, why is this happening, man? This is Ecclesiasticus chapter 39. And I'm going to start at verse 28, because we got to understand this, y'all. It says, "There be spirits that are created for vengeance, which in their fury lay on sore strokes." So it's telling us that the Most High created spirits, or he created angels for his vengeance purposes, man. You know, like the scripture says, matter of fact, let me get that. This is Job chapter 4 and verse 7, and it reads, "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?" So Job is reminding us, man, he's asking us a question. Whoever died being innocent? Nobody, man. We all are guilty of something. But this goes right hand in hand with what I'm reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 39 and verse 28. It says, "There be spirits that are created for vengeance, which in their fury lay on sore strokes. In the time of destruction, they pour out their force and appease the wrath of him that made them." So these spirits appease the Most High. They please the Most High by doing his work. And a lot of people like to think ignorantly that there's some type of war going on between the Most High and Satan, where their angels are fighting. But we're finding out in this scripture here that all angels are employed by the Most High. And he has a certain group of angels that execute his vengeance. And that's right with the Most High. Now, the reason I pull that, it leads me right into this second article that I got dealing with the violence that was taking place this weekend. And this is from the same source, CNN, and the headline reads, listen to this, y'all, "At least 150 people fatally shot in more than 400 shootings over the 4th of July weekend." Everybody was popping motor fireworks, huh? They were popping motor firecrackers. It says that at least 150 people were killed by gun violence and more than 400 shootings across the country during the 4th of July weekend as major cities nationwide confront a surge in violent crimes, according to data compiled by a gun violence archive. The data, which includes the number of shooting incidents and gun violence victims nationally over a 72-hour period from Friday through Sunday, is still evolving and will be updated. In New York, where gun violence has been rising to levels not seen in years, there were 26 victims from 21 shootings from Friday to Sunday. Damn. A decrease from the same period last year when 30 people were shot in 25 gun shootings. The New York Police Department said, on July 4th, the city experienced 12 shooting incidents that involved 13 victims. Increase from last year when there were 8 shootings and 8 victims, according to the NYPD. So far this year, gun violence incidents in New York have spiked almost 40% over the same period in 2020, with 767 shootings and 885 victims. CNN has requested data of how many of the shootings over the weekend resulted in homicides. In Chicago, after police superintendent David Brown raised concerns before the most challenging weekend of the year for police, 83 people were shot, including 14 killed, and shootings from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 a.m. Monday, according to the CNN review of preliminary Chicago Police Department data. The injured included a 5-year-old girl wounded on Sunday afternoon and a 6-year-old girl shot early Monday. This is in Chicago. So we got New York, we got Chicago. One of the 14 people killed was a member of the Illinois Army National Guard, CNN affiliate WLS reported. His family identified him on social media as Chris Cavaggio. Though the Cook County Medical Examiner has not officially released his name, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Layton confirmed to CNN that Cavaggio was assigned to the Company L Recruitment Sustainment Program, Recruiting and Retention Battalion of the Illinois Army National Guard. Cavaggio was new to the Illinois National Guard and was to be assigned to a transportation unit. He had recently completed Army basic training. Like Lighton said, our hearts go out to Private First Class Cavaggio's family and friends. 2 Chicago police officers were injured in an overnight shooting as an individual opened fire while officers were dispersing a crowd of several thousand people and made more than 60 arrests. Police said both are expected to survive. Violence across America. In the suburban Atlanta, golf professional Jen Schiller was fatally shot at a country club on Saturday. I just played y'all that one. It says eight people were injured early Sunday morning in a shooting near a car wash in Fort Worth, Texas, after an argument between a group of men, according to Fort Worth police news release. So that's Texas. All right. In Norfolk, Virginia, 4 children were shot on Friday afternoon, including a six-year-old girl who was initially reported to be suffering life-threatening injuries but is now in stable condition, according to Norfolk police. The victims include a 14-year-old boy, a 16-year-old girl, and a 16-year-old boy, all of whom are expected to fully recover. So this is all the violence that's going on this weekend, man, behind this damn holiday. Behind this holiday, you know, they don't mention what race that they were. But come on, y'all. We can pretty much assume, especially Chicago, New York, who it was, man. And our people, man, we go harder for Esau's holidays than any other damn holiday. We go harder for Esau's holiday than niggas be going harder for Black History Month, man, or Martin Luther King Day. Ill-advised holidays, by the way. I wouldn't tell nobody to celebrate them. No people of our nation. I'm talking Black, Hispanic, and Native American. But our people still do this mess, man. And we wondering why. Why the Most High would let these things happen to us? Not understanding this, man. Let's get Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, And let me start at verse 15. Strip off of this, y'all. And it reads, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the pillar of the of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people. Matter of fact, am I in the right? No, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not in the right book. Deuteronomy, right, not the right chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. It says, but Jeshurun, and Jeshurun is us. It means upright. That's what the Most High referred to us as when we were upright. When we were clean, man. We were just doing things according to the way he wanted them done. It says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So it's talking about, man, when we get everything we want, life's good, and then we just forget about the Most High. So it says he waxed fat and he kicked. We just forget about studying. We forget about praying. We forget about helping other people. We just become self-centered. So, and like the scriptures tell us in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun, man. It says the things that have been, those are the things that are now, man. It says the Most High requires it, man. So the same people we reading about here in Deuteronomy chapter 32 are the same people that are walking around this day and age scattered throughout the four corners of the globe, man. And y'all seen it. Y'all seen it, or y'all have experienced it for yourselves, where the Most High had to bring you back down to size and humble you. You know, it's like Christ said, man, what is a man to profit if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul, man? You can have all the glitz and glamour, but what's up with your spirit, man? And we see this every day with these rap niggas and these celebrities and these athletes. They have all the fame, all the glory. But look how all the mess these niggas be getting caught up in. They be news stories. What the thought of the month they messing with is getting passed around through damn Hollywood, through the NFL, through the NBA, them damn Kardashian hoes, that whole Steve Harvey daughter, Lori Harvey, jumping from pole to pole. And then you read about the substance abuses that they have, and the drug charges and cases that they be catching, the murder convictions they be catching, man. But I thought y'all had it all. I thought y'all was fine. I thought life was good. If life was so good, then why y'all still surrounded by drama and chaos? Anyway, going on, verse 16, it says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. What do you think the Most High is looking at his people now, running around trying to celebrate damn Independence Day, when you was a damn slave still getting your ass whooped when Esau claimed his independence from Britain? You didn't even have your own damn sovereignty, and you still ain't got it. But you still, we the ones that dress up in the damn red and white, blue outfits, the matching outfits, go get the kids' outfits, buy all these damn fireworks, and go out like damn fools to celebrate an independence which didn't include us. We were still in damn chains. What's wrong with our people? You don't think the Most High see this? You don't think he's jealous of this? Then you try to tell, hey, you're an Israelite. The Israelites is black. Christ died for you. And niggas got something to say. And they saying, nope. You misinterpreting the Bible. Nope, that ain't what it say. Nope, not my Jesus. My God love everybody. We so backwards and brainwashed, man. But we'll go and fight, go join the military and fight every war that the so-called white man have, and go to these foreign countries and say, we gonna free them from tyranny. We gonna give these people their freedom. Your ass ain't got freedom right here in the U.S. You still getting harassed. You still not considered a human, and got the audacity to try to damn petition and walk for civil rights. Well, you don't even have human rights. Verse 16 again, Deuteronomy 32:16. It says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. It says these things that we celebrate are abominations to the Most High. These things that we put above him is an abomination, which is a filthy, wicked act, something he loathes. It says, verse 17, they sacrifice unto devils. The word devil means deceiver. People sacrifice, firing up the barbecue grill to who? To the deceiver that deceived them into thinking that they were damn United States citizens, and that the Declaration of Independence and Independence Day apply to us, and it don't. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Meaning the Most High begat us, but we're unmindful of him. It says, and has forgotten God that formed thee. What verse am I in? Okay, let me read down. It says, and when the Lord saw it, he aborted them, which means hated them. He hated us for this. He still hates us for this because we're still doing it. Because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. So this, our people be praying, sending up prayers, praying profusely to where their knees getting weak. Because they on their knees praying 24-7, but the Most High still ain't listening to them. Why? Because we didn't hid our face from him. So it's only right he hide his face, his protection from us. It says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very poor generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. So what is 4th of July? Vanity. All these damn national holidays. Vanity. It says, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. The so-called white man has no culture, y'all. This is why the Most High calls them a no people. This is what Paul quotes in the New Testament. So they've been historically known as a no people, a non-cultural people, man. And let me jump down and get to the point. I just wanted to read a little bit of this. Verse 35, it says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that I shall come, the things that shall come, upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servant when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. What is black folks, Hispanic folks, Native American folks' power in this country, man? Money. Money, their role in this society, their careers, so on and so forth, which they hang their hats on. The Most High said, what? For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servant when he seeth that their power is gone. And there is none shut up or left. Verse 37. And he shall say, where are their gods? Or where your power at? Where the thing that you placed your faith in? He says, the rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering while you was turning up this weekend, let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Let this country protect you from them. Right? Like I always say, man, Esau is the villain and the hero all in the same movie. Verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. The Most High is letting you know plain as day here. if somebody dies, if somebody gets wounded, set order out. Like we just read about his vengeance angels in Ecclesiastes chapter 39. He's letting us know not life and death all are in his hands. You can be on the right side of the Most High, or you can be on the wrong side of the Most High. It's our choice. But our people keep choosing other things that are not the Most High. They keep choosing other powers, other things to worship and sacrifice and dedicate their lives to. And then they mad when things ain't going their way, or they end up getting killed, getting murked. And I want to say this, man, because I don't want people to think I'm just cold and heartless, man. Even the Most High ain't cold and heartless. He told us in Ezekiel 33 that he has no pleasure in the wicked's death. Is what he said. He said he ain't got no pleasure in that, man. He said he would wish that they would live, just change their ways. I'm the same way, man. I hate to see our people die, man, especially over some damn nonsense. Imagine that, man. You trying to go kick it and have fun on a damn holiday that ain't even got nothing to do with you, and you end up dying, losing your life, man. It's sad. It really is. But this is what our people keep doing, man. This is why the Most High said this. It's Amos chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. The Most High can't stand these damn holidays, y'all. How are people not seeing this, though? You know, it's funny, and I'm happy, man. I had a conversation with Mama Deuce, with my mama yesterday, and, man, she shocked the hell out of me. She said, I forgot what we was talking about, but she just came out of nowhere. She said, I told these people to stop celebrating this Caucasian holiday. I said, what, Mama Deuce? What did you just say? Can you repeat that? So she repeated it. I said, Mama Deuce, I'm glad you finally see it. She said, yeah, I had to do some research. I was like, good, Mama Deuce. I said, so you going to research Thanksgiving too? She said, yeah. Now that I got time on my hand, I said, research all of them. Research all of them. And, you know, I didn't even say, you know, I've been telling you this. I told you so. I ain't say none of that because people get defensive when you say that. So if you got a family member that's coming around and the wool is being pulled off their eyes, man, don't take that stance. Be like, man, I'm happy for you. Man, I'm glad. Or go so far as to ask them, okay, what did you study? What did you look up? But, man, I was happy to hear that. Mama Deuce is waking up. So I want to read this last article, y'all, and this is from The Root. Hold on for a second. It's from The Root. It says, members of heavily armed black militia shut down traffic on Massachusetts interstate for 9 hours. Ain't that something, man? The 11 men said they were members of the group known as Rise of the Moors. These Moor niggas, y'all. I've dealt with a few of them. Okay, it says a group of heavily armed men who say they're part of a movement that does not recognize the laws of the United States were arrested Saturday after a 9-hour standoff with police that shut down parts of Massachusetts interstate. The group of 9 men were reportedly in 2 cars stopped in the breakdown lane on I-95 in Wakefield with the hazard lights on around 1:30 a.m. when police stopped to assist them. So the police stopped to help. Police said the responding trooper saw that they were wearing tactical and military style uniforms, including tactical vests and body cameras. Some had long rifles, others pistols, or some combination of both. Massachusetts State Police Colonel Christopher Manson said the men identified themselves as being part of a group known as Rise of the Moors. The group's website described them as Moorish Americans, dedicated to educating new Moors and influencing our elders. Moorish Americans, okay. Their self-professed leader wanted very much known their ideology is not anti-government. Manson said, nigga, if you're not anti-government, what you doing on a government highway shutting it down? This is their self-professed leader. Okay, I read that part. Our investigation will provide us more insight into what their motivation, what their ideology is. Let me see. I ain't even watched it. Let me check this out. Oh, no, there's something else. Okay. Here we go. The Boston Herald reports that Mason said police use negotiation and tactical maneuvers to apprehend the group. From the Herald, he said cops who described this as a dangerous incident contained the men to the woods off of I-95. He didn't elaborate on what the group wanted, saying he didn't want to propagate their ideology, though he said that they wanted to leave the area without accountability and that they wanted attention. Stady said that the heavily armed men were claiming to be from a group that does not recognize our laws. Mason said the men said that they were on their way from Rhode Island to Maine for a quote-unquote training on the 4th of July weekend. There was little further information available about what that meant, and Maine State Police wouldn't say more than acknowledging that they were all aware of the Wakefield situation. So here we have a group of niggas claiming that they something, that they some misinformation that they got, and I guess trying to rise up against the government. I don't know what these niggas is doing, man. But I do know this, and this is why it's so important to study and to know scriptures, man. So you won't fall to niggerism like this. So this is Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the high power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I know a lot of pork chop eating, sweaty, fornicating preachers. The clergy response team in particular, they like to use this scripture to say, recognize all the laws of the nation and basically do as the so-called white man would have you to do. Now, concerning his laws, I would say yes, but concerning morality and concerning civility, no. Don't follow this mess because we're not obligated. And what I mean by that is they'll have you to believe that, especially with the let of people agenda popping off the last, 5-10 years now, they will have you to believe you're supposed to follow that and recognize the so-called laws of the land. That's where they get that from. You won't find that in the scriptures. But this is where they get the supposed follow the lands of the law crap from. The law, okay? The laws of this place, such as what? Whatever their damn penal codes is, whatever their laws for driving, whatever their tax laws. Follow that. Even Christ says, surrender unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, right? That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about morally, spiritually, or civilly, y'all. It's not talking about that. But we have to understand that we were brought here for punishment. The Most High put these people over us. This is what it's talking about, the powers that be ordained. He ordered these people to have power, rulership, and authority over the earth. And we're here in their captivity, so we got to do what? We got to follow their laws. We got to follow their guidelines, man. We can't resist the power because it says this, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the orders of God. This is why you got people like Sandra Bland, and I know y'all going to hate me for saying this, but it's the truth. Watch the video. She was so disrespectful and non-compliant to that police officer, and then people wonder why she got killed. And I ain't saying it was right, y'all. I'm not saying that. But what does the scripture say? It says, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the orders of God. She was resisting the orders of who? Of the Most High. Didn't matter. Mind you, she did all this smoking a damn cigarette, blowing the smoke in the police face. Whoso therefore resist the power, resisted the orders of the Most High, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. See that? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So the people that are in authority, the rulers, are not going to terrorize you if you're doing good, but if you're doing evil, then you should be looking out for them. Because they come, they come knocking on your door like these niggas on the highway, shutting the highway down. What you think was going to happen? It says, will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Meaning that the people that are in charge now, they are the servants of the Most High. Yes, they serve the Most High. Inadvertently, unconscious of it, but they're serving the Most High. He says, but he is the minister of the Most High to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. What is doing evil? Going against the grain, going against the authority, man. You know, I had to show this scripture to my rib. Because all I hear, her boss. She's this. I'm like, but she's in authority. It's your boss. You got to lock into whatever this lady putting down because you don't have a choice. The scripture is telling you lock in. But you keep resisting, you're going to get more sleepless nights. You're going to have more pressure. You're going to feel like you're losing your damn mind because you're fighting against the grain. It says, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, or the minister of the Most High, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We don't get this, y'all. The damn speeding ticket, the public intoxication ticket you got. You was at a bar and the police just grabbed you for no reason. They ain't want no damn no reason. You're doing something that's pissing the Most High off. You better do your checks and balances. You better, like the scripture says, walk circumspectly. You better be doing a checklist of you. Man, what am I doing? Am I messing up with the Most High? Am I on good terms with the Most High? Am I tripping? Am I doing anything wicked? Am I doing anything that's off? Me asking yourself that question. But how many of us do that, man? We always think we the damn victims. No victims, man. We deserve everything the Most High has done to us and some. And we ain't worthy of his mercy. We really ain't, man. Look at the mess we still doing. Killing kids, not raising the kids we got, not being fathers or mothers. We being mammas and pappies. You get Jeremiah 27. I'm going to read this, verse 12. Trip off of this, because it ain't nothing new. It says, I spake also to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. This is the Most High speaking to the king of the southern kingdom. He's saying, man, look, serve Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? The Most High like, man, why are you going against the grain? I put them in charge. Obey them. It says, therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you. So these niggas is telling you, hey, we got to claim our own sovereignty here in the United States. No, the Most High said he was coming to get us from all the places he had scattered us, and he was going to bring us to the wilderness, to purges, Ezekiel, what, chapter 20? And then after we get purged, then we're going to go to the kingdom. But the point is, he's coming to get us and take us somewhere else. This place is not our home. It says, therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Man, they telling you, man, get you a gun. Stand up. We're going to overthrow America. These niggas watching the movie, the old school movie, The Spook, that sat by the door. They watching that on repeat or something, man. Something's wrong with them. Or so, for some brothers and sisters, it might be, they might be thinking, oh, we got to get what they call it, economical power. Come on, y'all. What you think Black Wall Street was? We done did that already. We've done it already, y'all. What does the scripture say? It says in Isaiah chapter 52, ye have sold yourself for naught. Ye shall be redeemed without money. I mean, you're going to be saved without your money. Your credit score ain't going to get you salvation. Look, don't get it twisted, man, because the scripture say money is a defense, and it is. Money's fine and good. There are a couple of Israelites that I know that they've got homesteads. They put their money together. They live out there off the grid. And that's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. All praises to the Most High. I applaud them brothers for doing that. But don't think that's the end all be all, y'all. That's not the end. That's not the final destination. That's not the end of the journey. What did Christ say? I go to prepare a place for thee. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Look up the word mansion, y'all. He said, if I do not go, then I cannot prepare a place for thee. Christ went to set it up, y'all. We're going to be rulers of the earth, not just of a plot of land. Anyway, what verse was I in? It was 15, what? Did I get to 15? I didn't get to 15. Why will ye die? Thou and thy people by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against thee, against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, for I have not sent them, said the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesied unto you. The Most High said, I ain't seen them niggas. Don't listen to them. They telling you a bunch of lies. No, it ain't time to fight the power. No, it ain't. Verse 17, hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? Come on, man. Don't y'all get the wrong idea, man, that we're supposed to take up arms and we're going to have the final showdown with Esau, the so-called white man in the streets. Because you got a couple guns. I don't care if you got a damn arsenal in your house. You're sadly mistaken if you think you're going to survive a war with the person who made the weapons that you own that got their name on them, whether it be Smith & Wesson, whether it be, what's the name of the damn gun place? Beretta. What is this? Something Steel Armory. I forgot the name. They like the number one gun dealers in the U.S. But anyway, all them damn guns are named after the so-called white man, but you think you're going to defeat him with his own weaponry? Don't you know that was his blessing? You read that in Genesis. He was blessed with the sword. The modern-day sword is the gun. This is why this dude is so creative in how to kill people, because that was his blessing. Our people need to wake up, man. Our salvation is Yahweh Shai coming to get us up out of here. Anyway, I'm switching over now, y'all, to the class. And the class is entitled Take Me to the Fire. Because the previous class I was going over was Take Me to the Water, and we're dealing with baptism, and I dealt with the water aspect of baptism. So let me just do a recap. And then I'm going to get into the fire. So let's get Mark 1 and 8. So Mark chapter 1, verse 8. And once again, y'all, I'm switching over from the news to the actual class, which is entitled Take Me to the Fire, Baptized in Consistent Fire. And, you know, I thought about the title. I was going to try to do a play on words and mix it in with Tupac. The nigga said baptize in internal fire. But we ain't going to be baptized in internal fire because our baptism is not going to be eternal. It's not going to be forever, man. It's for a period of time until Christ come back. So let me get Mark 1 and 8, and it reads, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, I broke down the water baptism, and this is what John the Baptist was doing, but it was a law that you can find in Leviticus, the 14th and 15th chapters, and various other chapters, where it talked about if a man had a certain issue or even leprosy, man, you would have to clean yourself with water. Y'all remember the king who had leprosy? I forgot what, but it was in the book of Kings. But it was either Elijah or Elisha told him to go bathe in the River Jordan to clean his impurity, to clean his leprosy, right? The king got mad and was like, man, I got rivers in my own country. I can bathe in those. He was reluctant to do it. One of his ministers talked him into doing it. He done it and he got clean, man. But my point is this. When John the Baptist was baptizing people in water, that was the water baptism, but he was pretty much keeping the law from the Old Testament by cleaning the flesh. And that's all water does, is it cleans the flesh. It don't clean your spirit. But the water is also used symbolically. And I'm going to show you. So just a small recap. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Because I know it's certain Israelites, they still do water baptism. And I'm not speaking against those brothers. If they want to do water baptism, cool, man. They want to keep the tradition. They want to keep the law, the ceremonial practices of baptism. And that's what floats their boat and make them feel good, man, so be it. But that does not clean the spirit, y'all. I repeat, that does not clean the spirit. I'm going to prove it as I go on this class. But Ephesians chapter 5, and what is the verse I'm looking for? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Let me start at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, which means to cleanse, and it tells you, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So y'all see how the word water is being used symbolically, but it's actually talking about the word, because the word is what actually cleanses your mind, cleanses your spirit. A physical bath or shower does not do that. Right? Let me get another one. Let's get St. John chapter 3, I believe it is, or it might be 5. Let me see. St. John chapter 3 and... No, that's not it. Hold on, y'all. Come on, man. I'll forget that one. St. John 15:3. And it reads, now you are clean through the word which I spake, which I have spoken unto you. So you see how the Most High, Christ is letting us know that it's the word that cleans us up, man. Not the water. The water only cleans your flesh. All right? And then remember he also said, and let's get that, Mashaba posted that too in the description. Let's get, and we're going to actually start there. Let's get Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, and it reads, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, unto change. Remember, he was just keeping the law, the ceremonial baptism. He says, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, listen, he's letting you know there's the distinction in the baptisms. He's letting you know, yeah, I indeed baptize you with water. He says, but the person that comes after me, we know he was talking about Yahweh Shai, he said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, right? And I covered that also in the previous class on baptism, part one. Look it up, y'all. It's in the archives. But just to do a little recap real quick, just to show what the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is, let's get St. John chapter 14, verse 26. So St. John 14, verse 26, it reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, so the Comforter and the Holy Ghost is the same thing, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What teaches you all things? What teaches you everything that you ever wanted to know about the Most High? What teaches you about creation? What teaches you about marriage? What teaches you about fatherhood, motherhood? It's the Bible. It says he shall teach you all things. Gives you historical contents on what happened biblically to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's the Bible. What gives you the knowledge of Christ? It's the Bible. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So matter of fact, let me break it down slowly. So it says, I'm going to teach you all things. It says, bring all things into your remembrance. So whatever you may have forgot, you can go where to get reminded of it? The Bible. So you went to Sunday school, you heard that Noah had an ark, and he took the animals two by two. Nope. He didn't take the animals two by two. The unclean animals two by two, he took the clean animals by sevens, by sets of seven. But you only find that where? In the Bible. It brings all things to your remembrance. If you have forgotten things, like the scripture says, remember what? The Sabbath, right? Exodus chapter 20. It says, whatsoever I have said unto you, what book contains all the words that Christ ever said to us? It's the Bible. So we know that the Bible is, in fact, the comforter, and it's the Holy Ghost, because the Bible offers that comfort. When, in our moment of weakness, in our moment of grief, in our moment of trial and tribulation, in our moment of temptation, what's going to give us the comfort? It's the book. It's the Bible. So St. John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So we find out that the Holy Ghost is the comforter, which is also known as what? The Spirit of truth. What does St. John 8:32 say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What did Christ say in St. John 6:63? It says, is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profit to nothing. These words that I speak to you, speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we find out that the Bible is, in fact, the Holy Ghost. The comforter is the Spirit of truth. That's the baptism, y'all. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 3, and let's deal with this fire, because you'll see people doing the baptism ritual, but I ain't never seen nobody throw no gasoline or no damn lighter fluid on nobody and just set them on fire. I haven't seen that and say, oh, you baptized. So we got the water, but what about the fire, man? So Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what, y'all? It's the word of the Most High. It's the Bible. It says, and with fire. So what is the fire, man? Is it you light a candle and you literally set somebody on fire? No, because we know that Christ said he didn't come to condemn men. He didn't come to kill men. He said he came that we might have life more abundantly and have it more abundantly. So it ain't talking about actual fire, right? Matter of fact, let me get that before we go further. I had to pull it up. We gonna get into it too. So this is the definition for fire, right? Verse number one, it says 1A, the phenomenon of combustion manifest in light, flame, and heat. We know that, right? Number two, it says one of the four elements of the alchemist, right? Now listen to this. Burning passion. Burning passion. All right? That's also a definition for fire. So John the Baptist said Yahushua was going to baptize us with fire. So let's see what he was talking about. Let's get this burning passion, see what it is, y'all. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Now remember, we're dealing with the fire aspect of the baptism. So we found out that the water was the word, but what is the fire? So Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. And it reads, is not my word like as a fire, said the Lord? What is the Most High's word like? It's like a fire, man. It's a passion. It's a burning passion. What does it do? It says, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So the word of the Most High, it is passion, but it's also like that phenomenon of combustion manifesting light, flame, or heat. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. That's why it says, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It will break all your little plans in pieces. It will break your little opinion in pieces. It will break your little pride up. It will make you feel crispy. It will embarrass you. Yes, it will. That's what the fire represents. It represents the word of the Most High. He said his word was like fire. And what is fire also used for, y'all? It's used to burn impurities out of metals, right? The Most High said his word is like a fire, man. It's burning the impurity out of you. So what is it doing? It's cleansing, just like the water did. The fire, which is the word, is burning the impurities out of your spirit, like the water was washing the impurities, or is supposedly washing the impurities out of your spirit. They're one and the same. And the Holy Ghost, all coming back to what? The word of the Most High, which is designed to clean up or to purify what? Your conscience. So you can stop doing the same stuff that you've been doing. Chasing your tail, banging your head up against a brick wall, trying to figure out by using your nigger wisdom how to get out of a situation when you should be applying the book that's uncomfortable to you, that's breaking you in pieces, the book that's breaking you down, chipping away at your pride. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Wherefore, thus said the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth. I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And the people would, and it shall devour them. So what's the fire, y'all? It's the words of the Most High. It's that uncomfortable feeling when a brother or sister hits you up with a scripture, man, that's making your nigga wisdom, your opinion, this damn small. Making you look like an idiot. It's the word of the Most High. When you compare it to your own thoughts, you are embarrassed. You are ashamed that you were even thinking like that. It's like the scripture said, matter of fact, I got to get that. Let's hold Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. We're going to come back to it. But let's get 2 Timothy, man. Chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And it says all, old and new, apocrypha as well. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Most High and is profitable. I mean, it's beneficial for what? For doctrine. Doctrine is a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a way you conduct yourself. So the scriptures in the Bible are profitable for your life. It says for reproof. When you need to be proved wrong, when it needs to be shown to you that you're tripping, that you're making a bad decision. Man, you making a bad mistake. You making a decision that's going to hurt your family. It's going to harm you. You're making the decision that's going to be detrimental to your family, fool. That's what the reproof is. It's against your will. It's against what you want to do. Correction. It's going to correct you and show you where you're wrong at. It's going to break down your pride. It's designed to humble you, knock you off your high horse. It says for instructions in righteousness. It instructs you on what the right thing to do is. And we need it. We ain't never been Hebrew Israelites before. We've been Americans. We've been the nigga on the block or whatever the hell we was into before we got the book dropped on us. We was doing stuff our way, so we don't know how to be a Hebrew Israelite father. We don't know how to be a Hebrew Israelite mother. We don't know how to be a Hebrew Israelite husband or a Hebrew Israelite wife. We don't know these things. So this is why we need this book. It's for correction. It says for instructions in righteousness. It shows us how to be right by the Most High. Because we've been being right, doing right by us. for how damn long before you got the knowledge dropped on you? But this is what it's designed for. This is the fire. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Wherefore, thus said the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word of what? Correction, for instructions in righteousness. Behold, I have made my words in thy mouth fire. It says, and this people would, and it shall devour them. And this is why when you give people scriptures, they get so uncomfortable. They start squirming, moving in their seat, or they're not receptive to it. And they say stuff like, can't we just put the Bible down and you give me your thoughts? Or, man, I'm trying to hear a Bible right now. I'm going through real life situations. Hey, I want to hear something that's real, my nigga. Fool, the Bible is real. This is why you running from it. This is why you ain't trying to open it up and study. Because it ain't going to benefit your flesh. Like Christ said, it is the spirit that quickens the flesh, profiteth nothing. That's why people don't want to read and apply the Bible, y'all, because it's not beneficial for your flesh. It don't let you do what you want to do. It's confining. It puts shackles on you. It puts constraints on you. It's like it says in Wisdom of Solomon, it puts feathers on you. You just can't do you. You got to actually do what? Think. What most people don't like doing. Everybody likes to be on damn cruise control. That's the mind of a child. I ain't worried about nothing. Nigga ain't worried about nothing. Nigga ain't worried about nothing. I ain't thinking about what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about the consequences of my actions. This book forces us to be responsible, conscious, for us that still have one. Let's get Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. And I said for us that still have one, man, because if you don't have this book and actually apply it, matter of fact, before I get that, man, let's get Jeremiah chapter 17. And we always pull the scripture too. 17 and verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And the heart is talking about the mind, y'all. But it says that your mind is deceitful above all things. Anything you could think of is not more deceitful than your mind. Your mind is the deceitful master, the master of deceitfulness. Your mind will literally play tricks on you. And we know that the mind is connected to the spirit, so they're one and the same. So your spirit will play tricks on you to try to talk you into doing things that you know ain't right. We like to call it what? Our self-conscious, right? Your mind will reason with itself to make excuses for itself. And some of us Israelites that got the book, that know the book, we get so damn cunning that we try to pull scriptures to justify the wickedness that we're doing. I raise my hand. I'm guilty of it. But this is why this scripture is so real. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, man? Who can know what your damn mind can think of? This is why it's so important, man, to get a chapter in a day. Get a chapter in a day, y'all. If you ain't read it, listen to it. It's so important to get some class time in. It's so important to be around a brother or sister to check your thoughts. Just call and have a conversation. Hell, I do it all the time. ask him shop. Hey, I was thinking about this. Hey, I was thinking about this. What you think about this, Doc? Hey, the scriptures say this, right, Doc? And, you know, the scriptures tell you also, it says the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend is going to tell you the truth. That's the wound. You can count on a friend to tell you the truth. You can expect that, but that's what makes a friend, because they don't tell you what you want to hear. The kisses of an enemy, that enemy is going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what sounds good to your ears, which benefits your flesh. But a real friend ain't going to tell you what you want to hear. A real friend going to give you that bad news. A real friend is going to be like that prophet that always give you bad news. That prophet that always have you feeling some kind of way or feeling stupid. I'm going to read it again, y'all. We're in Jeremiah 17 and 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try to reign, even to give every man according to his ways. The Most High said, he be trying our mind on the daily. He be trying our spirit all the time to see what we going to do. It says to give every man according to his ways. So if you keep doing you, the Most High is going to give you over to you. And you're going to self-destruct. You become your own worst enemy. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, and it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. See, the Most High say he tries the reins, right? So those trials, those situations the Most High puts you in is designed to try you. It says, but don't think it's strange. This is what you came into when you came into the knowledge. Don't think it's strange concerning these fiery trials to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But if you ain't studying, you're like, oh, man, what is happening to me? Why am I going? It's supposed to happen, but you ain't been studying to see that the stuff you're going through is normal. You don't need to have a knee-jerk reaction to it. You don't need to overreact. You don't need to be overly dramatic, overly nonchalant. You need to be even keeled about it, because the scripture is telling us that it's going to happen. Trip off this verse 13. It says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. We're supposed to be rejoicing that we're going through something. Because then and only then you know that you actually follow Christ. Because he went through worse than what we go through. It says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. But what sufferings? Do we have to be reminded of this? Trip off. Let's get Matthew chapter 20. Let's get the sufferings. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 20. Let me start at verse 20. It says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. So she's asking for her sons, which were the sons of thunder, to sit on the side of Yahushua in the kingdom. Now, this is what Christ told him. But Yahushua answered it and said, ye know not what ye ask. Like, woman, you don't know what you're asking me. He says, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. crazy to let you know, man, I don't think y'all able to go through the baptism that I'm being baptized with. And he was water baptized, but the baptism he was talking about. And I'm gonna prove it. Watch this, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is it is prepared of my Father. So Christ was like, oh, you're going to get this work. You're going to go through the trial, the fiery trials. You're going to go through the tribulations that I'm going through. Now watch this, verse Matthew chapter 26. We're going to stay in the same book. Matthew 26. And let me see what verse. 39. Matthew 26 and 39. Let me start at verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, right? The same ones we just read about, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, this is the night before Christ was crucified. So he asked the man, wait here with me and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. What is Christ asking? He's asking not to go through the ass whooping that he took or the crucifixion that was going to happen to him, the murder, the assassination that was going to happen to him. He's asking, let me not go through this. But he said, nevertheless, it's your will. This is part of the baptism Christ was talking about, man. He wasn't talking about no damn water. He was talking about actual trials and real life situations, man. Real life things that he didn't want to go through, that he didn't want to do. And when he told the sons of thunder, y'all going to be baptized with this, he's letting them know it's going to be situations, very difficult situations in your life that you ain't going to want to go through. But you got to, for the Father's sake. No different than us. It'd be situations that we don't want to deal with. We try to put it on the back burner, pretend it don't exist. But the Most High do what? He bring them situations right around full circle. The things that we keep running from, man. The Most High has a great sense of humor. He's like, you ain't going nowhere, nigga. You going to deal with this. You going to deal with this. And until you deal with it, I'm going to keep bringing it, throwing it up in your face. And the Most High, he started making it extreme. The more we run from it, the more we don't deal with it, he just be bringing extreme-ass circumstances to where we have to address the issue. Whatever our shortcomings might be, whatever the pull that something might have on us, he keeps showing us how detrimental it is to our spirit. And he won't let us get away from it until we fight it and go through it. By using his words, of course, because that's what Christ did. 40, and he coming unto the disciples and finding them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now here we find that Yahawashah going through this intense situation, and you read in the Gospels, it tells you that he started sweating blood because he had so much mental anguish and so much going on mentally, man. To actually sweat blood? Ain't none of us went through nothing like that. But you don't think he was wrestling with himself? Come on, man. This is how he was healing people, bringing people back from the dead. It would have been nothing for him to cast some lightning down or to kill these people that was trying to crucify him, but he went through it. he went through it, y'all. And if he went through that, then what makes us think that we're going to shake our battles? What makes us think that we're exempt from facing us, from paying for paying for our mistakes? Because a lot of us get it twisted. Just because we're in the knowledge of the truth, we think that we won't have to pay for the previous mistakes that we made, that everything is just shiny on this side, or this side of the grass is greener than it was. No, y'all. The things that we done and we still got to pay for. We're not getting away from it. But you remember the Most High said he will make a way for us to escape. We still got to go through it, y'all. Reading on, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He asked for the cup. He asked for him not to go through the beating that he took or the crucifixion. He asked twice. But what did he do in the end? He still went through it, y'all. It shows what? That he was human. That he wanted to get away from his battle, away from his fight. No different than us. We've been running more than twice. That's all we do. We're the kings of running, the kings of escape. Let me get out of this situation. Let me make this situation easier. Let me make my burden lighter. Instead of just dealing with us. Because that'd be the issue. But you're a person that don't like dealing with conflict. You're a person that don't like problem solving. You're a person that don't like dealing with niggas when you got to deal with niggas, whatever the case may be. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So we're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, y'all. And let's start at verse 1. It says, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation, right? This is the chapter that everybody should be hanging their hats on right here, man, and reading when they're going through something. So it's telling you, when you say, I'm going to serve the Most High, I'm doing this for the Most High, he's telling us plain as day here to prepare yourself for what? For the temptations that's going to come with it. You're going to be tempted to stop doing it. You're going to be tempted to be the old you. You're going to be tempted to go left. You're going to be tempted to do a lot of things, man, and I've seen it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It says, set thy heart aright and constantly endure. It says, when it says set thy heart, get your mind right. Get your mind prepared for what you're about to go through, man. Preparation. You know, preparation is almost everything, y'all. I don't care. And I'm going to bring it out to a basic level. If you're preparing to go on, let's say it's Feast of Tabernacle, right? So we prepared to go camping or be in a tent for 7 days or one night or whatever the case might be. You're going to make preparations for it, right? You're going to make sure you got your flashlights, you change the clothes, you might have some bug repellent, some food, got your iPhone charger, portable charger, whatever the case might be, prepared for it. We can understand that prep, but how is it we don't understand the prep that we need to have when we come in to serve, when we coming into this truth, man? This is the preparation. And this right here is beyond just keeping the law. It's what society refers to as mental fortitude, man. Get your mind right. It says, and constantly endure and make not haste in time of trouble. And that be happening. You be wanting to run, man. Like, oh, woof. I didn't know it was going to get this bad. Woof. I didn't know this truth was going to lead me this way. Woof. I didn't know I was expected to do that. Oh, man, this is too much. It says, don't run away in time of trouble. Like I said earlier, man, we are the marathon sprint runners. When there's a problem, our natural inclination, let me run. It should be the opposite. Let me help. Let me dig in. Let me fight. Let me battle. We're going to make it through this. Verse 3, it says, cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. The Most High is with us, but we have to hang around to see the outcome. If we don't hang around to see the outcome, how can our faith ever grow? How can our faith ever be built in Yahushua, in the Most High, that he's there, that he sees? If we don't hang around, it says, was verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully. Now, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. But you remember in Peter, it says that we're supposed to rejoice knowing that we're partakers in Yahushua's suffering. We're supposed to rejoice in that. It says, whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully and be patient when thou art changed to a lower state. We have to be patient. Like I said, man, how can you ever see the work of the Most High if you don't hang around long enough to see the outcome, to see the finished product? It says, for gold is tried in the fire. What's the fire once again, y'all? It's the word of the Most High. It says, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. This is where we're made. This is where we're built. This is when we become that good Israelite man, that good Israelite woman, is when we actually go through the trials, through the fire that the Most High set up for us. When we run from it, we'll never get developed. We'll be lacking. We'll be like a child that skips steps, right? We'll be like a child that skipped crawling, went straight to walking. Or skipped walking, went straight to running. Now you never know how to walk. So now every time you're just running, you're putting too much pressure on your joints. Because you don't have to run all the time. You can just walk to certain places. We'll be malnourished in the spirit, y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, is that the right one? Must be First Corinthians. Yeah, First Corinthians. Yeah, that's it. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So this is Paul speaking. He said that he didn't want to be exalted. He didn't want to appear like he was on some pedestal. He says, there was given to me. Matter of fact, let me read it out in context. Let me start at verse 6. He says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So Paul understood the importance of staying humble. Verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So he said this thorn that he had in his flesh was given to him, but it was given to him to do what? To keep him humble, man. So he wouldn't get the big head. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. So he asked, like Yahushua asked with the cup before his crucifixion, before his death, let the cup pass from me. This is Paul said, man, he asked twice too, man, this infirmity. And then when you do your research, y'all, the infirmity that they say Paul had, they said that his eyes were bad. He had bad eyesight. So this is what he was saying, let this infirmity go away from me. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, now listen to what Yahweh Shai said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And this ain't just for Paul, man, because the scripture says the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, right? Because I know a lot of us, many of us have physical ailments. But the Most High is telling us his grace is sufficient. We got to continue on. We can't stop doing the work. We can't stop working on ourselves just because of our physical ailments, let alone how many of us have spiritual ailments that we just can't seem to shake or we're battling with. It's a day-to-day, you know. And to be honest with you, man, it's like being a damn dope fiend or alcoholic. You take it one day at a time. But you got to do what? You got to go to a meeting, right? any alcoholic substance abuse person will tell you, any addict, you need the meetings. Because that's your support system. That's the same with us, man. We're sick. We need our daily support system, which is the scriptures, like I said, which is that brother or that sister, or going to class, man, or hell, all of them, all the above. Verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because how else can Yahweh Shai manifest himself? How else can he prove to us that he actually exists when we feel like we're at our lowest, at our weakest point, when we just can't go on, or we just got that stronghold that we just can't shake, but we pick the Bible up, man, we read this scripture, or this, we got counsel from this brother or this sister, they hit me up with this, or I went to class and I saw this, and bam. I was strong enough to continue on another day, man. Man, that really did. That made my day, literally. It helped me through my day. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because we are, man, physically, sometimes mentally, sometimes spiritually weak. And we need that support system. We need something to keep us going, to keep us believing. And through that experience, our faith is built. Our faith grows stronger. So Paul was no different. And we already got Yahweh Shai's his account, right? So I'm in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Yahweh Shai may rest upon me. So we're supposed to be doing what, man? Glorying in the fact that I'm actually going through something. Why are we glorying in it? Because Christ went through it. This is the comparison that lets you actually know that you're in the truth. You're following Christ. I'm going through some of the same things that he went through. It says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Yahweh Shai may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. Because we got to remember, why are we doing it in the first place? And if you don't believe in Yahweh Shai, then you ain't going to do it. And you're going to fall short. You're going to fall back into being filthy again. Because remember, y'all, this whole class is about what? The baptism by fire, which is the word, which is going to clean your conscience up, which is going to clean your spirit up and help you get rid of those spiritual infirmities. It says, therefore, take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong, man. When you feel like you just can't go on, you can't continue, what's going to keep you strong, man? It's going to be the word of the Most High. by way of yourself studying, by way of a sister or a brother, or by way of class. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How much time y'all got time for? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You see this, y'all? Even though we're going to go through these things, we shouldn't be moved. We shouldn't let that waver our faith or what we believe in. But once again, you have to believe. How else can you believe it unless you actually go through the afflictions and come out on the other side and see that, man, the Most High had me the whole time. But if you never go through it, if you're running from it, you won't ever get to know the Most High, build that relationship that he's showing you that he's actually there and he exists. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Meaning what? We're supposed to go through this. Like I said in Peter, don't think it's strange. You're supposed to go through this. I just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the whole chapter, we're supposed to go through this. You're not special. You're not above this. You're not exempt. You said you're following Christ, right? Christ went through this. We think Christ checked Peter for him. Peter was like, nah, you ain't going to get crucified. Because Peter understood what? Man, I'm following him, so I'm going to go through the same thing he's going through. And he didn't want to do it. Listen, y'all, this is what we signed up for. Hey, knowing your nationality, knowing your Israelite, God's chosen, is happy times, good thing, good information to have, but you're going to go through something. You ain't just going to live a squeaky clean, no problem lifestyle. You're going to go through something. Now, granted, the stuff that we go through in Israel, man, is no comparison to what our people without the knowledge go through. I be hearing damn horror stories. Every time I talk to a family member or talk to my mom, she tell me about some family members. And they refuse. They still refuse to listen. Verse 4, it says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass, and ye know. It's not a secret. It says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your fate, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter is the deceiver, which we know as the spiritual entity known as Satan. Because he's definitely on the loose. He's definitely running wild. But I want us to understand that we all have a Satan in us. This is what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. We all have Satan in us. We all have a little devil in us. Like I just read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We have to be strong enough to battle ourselves, to keep ourselves from the filth. I remember Mashaba, when I first got the baptism class, Mashaba dropped this question on me. He said, how do you keep yourself? What did he say? He said, how do you keep yourself clean is what he said. How do you keep yourself clean? I said, man, and I didn't really think about what he was saying. I said, man, you wash up. Right? But no, that wasn't the question. He said, how do you keep yourself clean? He didn't say how to get clean. He said, how do you keep yourself clean? You keep yourself clean from not messing with dirt. This is why our scripture says, look not, touch not, handle not. If you know things are bad for your spirit, and they're going to have you spiral to where you just negative and walking contrary to the Most High, then stay away from those things. Things are detrimental for your spirit. It's no different than the analogy I'm going to use again, an alcoholic or a drug addict. If I know smoking a cigarette is going to make me want to smoke a joint, then what am I not going to do? I ain't going to smoke cigarettes. Now, I ain't saying smoking cigarettes is lawful. I'm just giving the example. If I know going to this bar and being in this environment is going to make me drink, then I ain't going to go to this bar because I know I'm going to drink. It's the same thing in the spirit, y'all. Because you know how you get little pulls, subtle little things that might happen or you might encounter throughout your day-to-day that pulls your spirit, and then the next minute you're thinking about doing something that's just totally off. It could be like a song you heard, a certain smell of a food that brought you back to a time where you was doing something that was wicked as hell. I know I've been there. I know I ain't the only one. But we have those pulls, those little subtle things that are just, it'll turn us there in a second, man. We got to be aware of those things. And we got to abstain from, we don't touch it, don't go there. Let me turn this off if this is a song that's going to put me there. Let me not go over here because I know they're cooking this and it's going to remind me of that. Let me not buy this right here because I know it's going to make me want to do this. Whatever the case might be, we have to be conscious of that. But the only way we can be conscious of it is we have this fire that's going to clean up our spirit, clean our mind up. This is the last scripture, y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, the promises of what? Eternal life. The promises that we're going to get salvation. The promises of the new covenant, y'all. When it says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not according to the covenant he made with our fathers, he's going to write his laws in our hearts, meaning our minds. Meaning what, y'all? We're gonna be in a state of we can't do any evil because we won't even know what that is. Our minds will only be focused, our spirits will only be focused on pleasing the Heavenly Father, just like in the beginning, in the garden. Adam and Eve knew only what? Good. They didn't know what evil was until it was presented, until they got exposed to it by way of their own doing. No different than us, man. But I'm waiting for that damn day when my mind is not predisposed to doing wickedness. I can just only do right. I'm waiting on that. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us be cleansed. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. So of the flesh. That water baptism cleans your flesh. It says, and spirit, but it don't clean your spirit, y'all. It says, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yahweh. So that's what the fire is, y'all. The baptism by fire is making yourself uncomfortable by the word of the Most High, which purifies, which cleanses your mind. And we know, like I said earlier, the mind and the spirit are connected and are one. So we need it on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly, on a yearly basis, man, whether it be you putting that studying time in for yourself. And then, y'all, just don't be studying just to be studying, man. Study what you're going through. If you got a spirit on you telling you to do whatever negative, then find those scriptures that are contrary to the way you're thinking. Find those scriptures that make you feel crispy, that make you feel like the wicked nigga that you is, and turn you away from that thought process, man. So with that, y'all, I'm going to end it. That's my time for this morning. Good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for listening in and everybody for supporting the blog talk, y'all. I greatly appreciate it. And like I said, man, I apologize for missing those couple last Tuesday and the Tuesday before that. But I'm back, y'all. I'm back. And I'm going to stay more consistent with the blog talk. But thanks for tuning in. Next week, I should have a special guest. I got to check with my brother Sapar, man. The water, sis. Sis Wardiah. Let's go there. Psalms 119 and verse 6, you said? Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respected, or when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Con, no doubt. Through 9, I will praise thee with uprightness in heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? No doubt. Once again, we see the symbolism being used, because you think of cleansing and our people automatically think of water. But we got the water, and the water is actually the word. And we find out that the fire too is the word. But this is how we cleanse ourselves. This is how we keep our mind and our spirit cleansed, by taking heed to the word, not rejecting the word, not talking back and getting the attitude to the people that actually give us the word, which is for our benefit, not looking at those people like they are enemies, or this nigga got something against me, or this so-and-so got something against me. But these people are actually looking out for our good. And I know it don't feel good when you get checked. It don't feel good when you get gone into, chastised with the scriptures. But it's needed. Like the scriptures say, correction is never out of season, man. And the Most High is not a respectable person, so we can't be evil. So we can't hold our tongue when we see something that ain't right. We got to open up. Because that's what we're here for. Why do you think the Most High got us around each other anyway? Come on, we are the most critical people on earth. There's a reason he got all of us around each other, because he know we're going to call each other out on our bullshit. Excuse my French, y'all. That there was, in fact, the last scripture, y'all. I'm going to end it there. Thanks for everybody tuning in. And I will definitely get at y'all next Tuesday with another class. And with that, I'm going to say shalom, y'all.